Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105 on The Zone. David Pascal along with Wells Guthrie. Hoping everybody out there is having a fantastic Friday. And again, we wish you and your loved ones a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Well, it is a pleasure to welcome back into Press Row. Ryan Callahan does a great job of covering Tennessee recruiting for 24/7 Sports. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. I do have to ask, I mean, you're basically the messenger. And so when Tennessee, of course, is ranked as high as second back in May, now 14th, I mean, do Tennessee fans reach out to you in excitement when Tennessee gets a big recruit or a big commitment, and as a result, in anger when Tennessee has a decommitment?
Yeah, you know, they don't necessarily lash out at me very often unless we mislead them on something, which we certainly I would like to think we don't do that very often, if at all, because we, you know, usually have a decent idea. You know, sometimes recruits can still surprise you, but we generally lead people down the right path, I think. So they usually aren't mad at us, but there is obviously a lot of anger and frustration when things aren't going well for Tennessee, and we sometimes, a big part of our job in times like this is, you know, giving everyone a big picture view of what's really going on. Which sometimes isn't as bleak as fans might think it is. So that's certainly something we've been doing the past couple weeks to kind of let them know, hey, things aren't maybe as bad as everyone is starting to worry they are.
There have been a couple of there have been multiple ones recently, but if I asked you to compare these two, I mean, obviously Terrence Lewis was a five-star decommit, but the most recent one, Hudson Wolfe, the four-star tight end from Savannah, Tennessee. I know Ole Miss is a lot closer geographically to Savannah than Knoxville is, but, you know, losing a commit to Ole Miss, and Ole Miss is having a better year than Tennessee. What is kind of the more painful decommit, in your opinion, out of those two?
Man, if I just had to pick out of those two, I would probably go with Lewis, just because it's so hard to get a five-star talent. And Lewis, you know, again, he's had some, there have been some off-field issues where his recruitment's been affected by some things where, you know, he didn't have the long list of teams chasing him that some five-stars do, but he's still a really talented player and a guy that Tennessee was hoping to hold on to. So I think that one always stings more. I do think under the circumstances, though, because Terrence Lewis was always seen as a little bit of a flight risk for Tennessee. Other schools were involved there. Miami was thought to be a threat. It looks like Auburn now is actually the favorite there, so that one maybe it might sting a little more for Tennessee if he ends up at an SEC rival. But in Hudson Wolf's case, I think that one's maybe more concerning to fans under the circumstances, because that was not a guy that people thought was really looking around until recently. He maybe kept things on the low a little bit and quietly took some trips to Ole Miss to keep looking into it there. But that was an in-state commitment, one of the, you know, few in-state stars of this class. Certainly someone Tennessee fans weren't expecting to lose. And so even though I think from a football standpoint, they'll be able to absorb that one, I think the timing of that one and the fact that it's an in-state kid maybe makes that one sting worse. But I would say that the Terrence Lewis one always, you know, fans are going to gravitate toward the five-star, and I would tend to go with the five-star talent as well being the bigger loss.
You mentioned Auburn with him. Of course, Auburn's the closest SEC school to Dylan Brooks down in Roanoke, Alabama. Are you pretty confident that he stays in Tennessee's fold?
As of right now, I think I am. Now, I say that knowing that Tennessee has a game tomorrow against Vanderbilt, that if Tennessee was to lose that game, I think all bets are off with a guy like that. With a lot of things potentially in Tennessee's class, because you know, not to say that, you know, one game is going to cause someone to decommit. I just think a loss to Vanderbilt could potentially raise all sorts of questions about Jeremy Pruitt, you know, both short-term and long-term future that could give some guys concerns just 4 days from early signing day. So it's not that much of a touch-and-go situation right now, but it is something Tennessee would have to worry about for sure if they actually lost tomorrow, and that would obviously be one of several concerns I think people would have if they lost that game. But that is something that could be more of a concern. Auburn's continued to try there. So far, Dylan Brooks has indicated he's solid. So right now, if Tennessee wins that game tomorrow and finishes out with a win before early signing day, I think they'll probably be okay as of right now. Nothing we've gathered suggests they won't. But, you know, again, lose that game and nothing is off the table at that point.
You're listening to Ryan Callahan. Does a great job covering Tennessee volunteer recruiting for 24/7 Sports. You're listening to Ryan here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Tennessee's most recent commitment, Amari McNeil. Usually, if Tennessee gets a 280-pound offensive tackle from the Atlanta area, people are excited. But you guys are so thorough with your rankings that I'm sure you've got fans that are like, well, wait a minute, this guy's the number 976 player in the country who was also looking at Austin Peay and Charlotte. That sounds like we're in panic mode. I mean, what is kind of your take on something like that? Are people reaching out saying, uh-oh, we're panicking?
Yeah, I think that's people's natural reaction. But as I pointed out to a lot of people this week, first of all, you turn on the film of Amari McNeil, I like what Tennessee's getting there. I think that might turn out to be a steal for Tennessee. He's a guy that they're recruiting right now with the idea of playing on the defensive line, but at the very least, he's capable of playing on the offensive line. I think he could play on either side of the ball. Has good film on both sides. He could really play all five positions on the offensive line. Could probably play just about anywhere on the defensive line, too. Just has that build around 6'4". 280 that can fit in a lot of places on the line of scrimmage, and he's a pretty athletic guy for that size. So Tennessee's got some other linemen in its class that are maybe a little more of a project. A guy like Jamarian Gooch, who's closer to 350 pounds, a guy like that's not going to be able to come in and play right away. A guy like this might be a little closer to contributing there. So I think a potentially nice pickup. I think two things on that. One, there are always finds like that in any normal year. You can find guys who fly under the radar. This staff has dug up some gems at the last minute. Even in Jeremy Pruitt's first year, Karat Garland, a guy who's in their defensive line rotation, was someone who had no offers essentially in January. So after this point, he was discovered and turned out to be a pretty good player. There's several other examples over the years. But that's in a normal year. In a pandemic year like this, where there's been a dead period for the past 8 months, 9 months now almost, and you haven't had camps, you haven't had opportunities to discover these guys, I think some legitimately good players have gone undiscovered. So I think this year especially, you've got to keep that in mind and realize Tennessee might be finding some legitimately good talent. I think another guy they offered this week, Juwan Gaston in Alabama, another example of that maybe, a guy who looks like he's got SEC talent who just didn't have many big offers before this week, and now South Carolina's offered in addition to Tennessee. So I think they're just still looking around, and Amari McNeil may be a good player that just kind of went undiscovered because of what happened this year.
All right, the thing about Saban and Saban disciples like Kirby Smart and Jeremy Pruitt is they're usually really good. They can give you some really good red meat answers on issues. And Kirby was really good earlier this week talking about the challenge of, with this pandemic, we know that the NCAA is allowing seniors next year not to count on the 85, but for the time being, they do count as far as trying to, if you want to get mid-year enrollees in, these seniors are eating up spots is exactly how Kirby phrased it. So I know it's just kind of this challenging numbers game that's this brand new world with all this going on, but do you have any idea how many Tennessee plans to sign next Wednesday or in this early signing period and how many early enroll or mid-year enrollees they plan to have?
Yeah, it looks like among Tennessee's current commitments, it looks like they have 9 early enrollees as of right now. They're still recruiting a few guys, too, who could add to that total. They previously had 10 because Hudson Wolf was planning to be an early enrollee. So we don't think they're going to have any space concerns there for getting those guys in. But they do have a relatively big group of early enrollees this year. Not the biggest one they've had, but around 10 is a more common number these days, and it looks like Tennessee will have about that, depending on who they might be able to add by next week. As far as the number they sign, we've seen, you mentioned the decommitments, and Demaryius McGee was another one of those that I think was maybe the biggest loss of all those, the 4-star cornerback from Pensacola, Florida. That was a big need for Tennessee, and it's going to be hard to replace at cornerback this late in the game with a similar talent. But those were legitimate decommitments. Then you've had some other players where Tennessee is kind of moved on from them, and one of those happened yesterday, I think, with Jay Jones, the defensive back from Demopolis, Alabama. They had one earlier this week, too, with Daryl Jackson from Havana, Florida. So you've had a couple of those. I think there still could be maybe potentially another couple guys that they move on from in this class down the stretch, or guys who choose not to sign until February and maybe keep looking around. So I think the number could drop, even though they have 23 commitments. As of right now, I would not expect all of those guys to sign next week. I think maybe maybe somewhere in the 20 range signs next week, depending on who they add down the stretch, if anybody, and then maybe even fewer than that, just depending on how things play out. So I think that's still sort of a fluid number at this point with signing day 5 days away.
Elijah Howard, obviously from Baylor School here in Chattanooga, has been committed for, gosh, since like June of 19. Is everything good on that front still?
It seems to be right now. You know, he indicated earlier this week that he's signing with Tennessee next week, and as far as we know, nothing has changed there. As you said, he was one of the very first guys in this class for Tennessee. I think he committed 3 days after the very first commitment in this class, Jordan Mosley, the four-star wide receiver from Mobile, Alabama. So he's been there since the beginning, hasn't shown any signs of wavering. So, you know, again, there have been some things that have been fluid, so you never rule out anything down the stretch. But right now it sounds like he's solid and everything is probably good there. So, you know, we'll see again what the final number ends up being next week, and if some guys choose to wait until February to sign. But we know his plans as of right now are to sign next week with Tennessee, and barring something unexpected, I think that's still the plan.
You brought up the interesting case of Hudson Wolf. Not only does he decommit, but, I mean, he was planning to early enroll in Knoxville. Now he's planning to early enroll in Oxford. Who else is out there between now and Wednesday, do you think, that might be a potential get for Tennessee?
Yeah, that's the tricky one. Some of that depends because they've had some offers recently to some guys who you know, they have a real shot at landing, I think, but they're guys that have maybe their recruitment has just started to take off, and they're still trying to decide, do I want to sign early or wait until February and see if more offers come in? So I think they've got a few guys like that, like Juwan Gaston that I mentioned earlier. They just offered him Monday night, the safety down in Alabama. So some options like that that are still out there that we're not sure yet what their plans are. Among known targets, you know, Byron Young is a junior college edge rusher. They're still heavily involved with that. They're in his top three or so, it looks like. Trevin Wallace, a four-star linebacker from South Georgia, looks like they probably trail Auburn for him, but still in his among his three main contenders along with Ole Miss. So there are a handful of guys like that still trying to flip some players committed to other schools, like Trevali Price, a four-star edge rusher committed to NC State, along with his half-brother Jaden Tate, who's kind of an athlete that could be a fullback or defensive lineman, something like that. So they've been after those guys for a while, and you know, still involved with some other players like Demarius McGee and Terrence Lewis that they're trying to get back into their class. McGee looks like maybe a long shot right now, but Lewis, not out of the question yet. He's naming his three finalists, it sounds like, on Monday, and he's another early enrollee Tennessee would like to get back into this class. So there's still several names out there, a few others that could come into play if they decide to sign early. A lot of moving parts, but right now, you know, it's an interesting finish because we don't see a lot of guys out there that you would say Tennessee probably leads for right now. But there are guys that, because of their recent offers, still might be in play for this early signing period. So it could end up being a fairly quiet day for Tennessee, or if some of these guys choose to move up their timelines and sign early, that might give Tennessee a late addition or two that might surprise people.
All right, Ryan, we've spent this entire time talking about prospects, whether they're committed or decommitted. I want to know you personally, what is, as someone who covers recruiting, what has been the biggest challenge for you in this cycle since the pandemic started?
You know, there's so much that just hasn't been normal this year. You know, I think the biggest challenge in a way is just not having visits to track. You know, it's hard to get a feel. You can obviously, you know, talk with sources and get a sense for where a player is supposedly leaning, but so much over the years you learn, follow the visit. That is very often the case, that if you see a player visit a school 5-6 times in a span of 5 or 6 months, that's usually a pretty good sign that school's going to have a real chance of landing a player. And not having had those visits to just kind of track where everyone's going this year has made it a little bit tougher to kind of see what's going on, because everything's happening virtually and in private phone conversations, and you just have to sort of do the legwork yourself and figure out what a player's thinking instead of seeing where he's going. So that's been a little bit of a challenge. And then also just not seeing players play in person as much. You know, we get to go to some camps every spring and summer usually and see some guys play. And obviously college coaches, that's been maybe their biggest frustration this year, is just not having many chances to evaluate players. They've relied almost exclusively on senior film this year from the players that they have committed. The players are still recruiting. So not having those evaluation opportunities and just not seeing where guys are going has made it a little bit tougher, but you know, there's obviously not been as much activity in some ways this year, just because guys aren't taking visits also. So there maybe in some ways hasn't been as much to track, but things like Hudson Wolf, you know, that was maybe something that would not have flown under the radar as easily in years past, because you might have, there might've been more reports of him, you know, visiting places that would have been harder to keep quiet in a normal year. And in a year like this, he probably just bought a ticket and went to an Ole Miss game and no one knew any different.
Ryan Callahan, you can follow him on Twitter, the Vols of Tomorrow, Tennessee fans, at Ryan Callahan, C-A-L-L-A-H-A-N, 247. Ryan Callahan, 247, for Tennessee fans that want to know where the Vols of Tomorrow are headed and what to expect. Ryan, great job as always. Thank you so much. We appreciate all that you do, and we always appreciate you joining us here in Chattanooga on Press Row.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All righty. Ryan Callahan does a great job again. 648-1051 is your number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.